Er wird am 1. Oktober uns dieses Gebiet übergeben müssen.
I've now demanded that after 20 years, Mr. Beamish be obliged to come to the truth. He must give us this territory by October 1st.
Herr Beamish, hast du noch die Welt? Er macht den Helden raus. Und seine Diplomaten machen den Helden raus. Wir erklären, es ist unsere Hoffnung, dass Chamberlain gestürzt wird, dass Balladier beseitigt wird, dass überall Umstürze kommen. Es ist unsere Hoffnung auf Sowjetrussland. Er glaubt noch immer, sich der Erfüllung dieser Pflicht entziehen zu können. Und da kann ich jetzt nur eines sagen. Nun treten zwei Männer gegeneinander auf. Dort ist Herr Beamish und da bin ich.
Beamish and his diplomats have always had the hope that Chamberlain, that France, that Soviet Russia would prevent the putting into effect of his promise. But today two men stand face to face. One is Beamish, the other is myself.
Verschiedene Personen. Als Herr Beamish in der Welt einst herumdrückte, in großen Völkerringen, da habe ich als anständiger Soldat meine Pflicht erfüllt.
And when two such different, diverse personalities stand opposite to another, I have, as a true and faithful German, done my duty.
Ich habe weniges zu erwähnen. Ich bin Mr. Chamberlain dankbar für all die Bemühungen. Ich habe ihm versichert, dass das deutsche Volk nichts anderes will als Frieden. Allein, dass es irgendwo eine Grenze gibt, über die man uns nicht zurückdrehen kann. Ich habe weiter versichert und ich wiederhole es hier, dass wenn dieses Problem gelöst ist, für Deutschland es kein territoriales Problem in Europa gibt.
I am grateful to Mr. Chamberlain for all his efforts. I have assured him that the German people only want peace, but there is a limit to our patience. I have assured him, however, that if this problem is solved, there is no other territorial problem for Germany in Europe. And I am willing to give him the guarantee when this is over that we don't want any checks.
Allein, ebenso sehr will ich nun vor dem deutschen Volk erklären, dass in Bezug auf das sudetendeutsche Problem meine Geduld jetzt zu Ende ist.
And I must also declare before the German people that here and now the Sudeten problem must come to an end.
Ich habe Herrn Beamish ein Angebot gemacht. Es ist nichts anderes als die Realisierung dessen, was er selbst schon zugesichert hat.
I have made Mr. Beamish an offer. It includes nothing what except that which he has already promised.
Er wird entweder dieses Angebot jetzt akzeptieren und den Deutschen endlich die Freiheit geben, oder wir werden diese Freiheit uns
holen. He must accept it, or we will take the freedom which we insist these Germans must have.
Thank you.
Ihnen jetzt kann die Welt hier zur Kenntnis nehmen. In 4,5 Jahren Krieg und in jungen Jahren meines politischen Lebens hat er mir eines nie vorwerfen können. Ich bin noch niemals feige gewesen.
One thing more the world must know. In 4.5 years of war and in many years of peace, I have never been a coward.
Ich stehe meinem Volk jetzt voran als sein erster Soldat. Und hinter mir!
And I am now moving forward ahead of my people as its first soldier.
Das macht die Welt wissen, marschiert jetzt ein Volk, und zwar ein anderes als das vom Jahr 1918.
And today, back of me, there is a people, a mighty people, a people different from that which followed the war in 1918.
Wenn es damals einen wandernden demokratischen Solaren gelang, in unser Volk das Gift demokratischer Phrasen hineinzuträufeln. Das Volk von heute ist nicht mehr das Volk von damals. Solche Phrasen wirken auf uns wie Deckenstiche. Wir sind davor jetzt gefeit.
And if at that time the Democrats succeeded in infiltrating into our people the poisonous drops of democratic distillation, today we are safeguarded against any such attempt.
Das ganze deutsche Volk mit mir verbinden. Es wird meinen Willen als seinen Willen finden, genauso wie ich seine Zukunft und sein Schicksal als den Auftraggeber meines Handelns ansehe. Und wir wollen diesen gemeinsamen Willen jetzt so stärken, wie wir in der Kampf geraten. In der Zeit, in der ich als einsamer, ungekannter Soldat auszog, ein Reich zu erobern und niemals zweifelte an den Erfolgen, an dem endgültigen Sieg, da hat die um mich geschlossen eine Schar von tapferen Männern und tapferen Frauen. Und sie sind mir gegangen. Und so bitte ich dich, mein deutsches Volk, tritt jetzt hinter mich!
And then the German people will unify themselves with me. It will regard not its will but my will. And the lonely, unknown soldier of a few years ago now marches forward, and a band of brave men and women follow him to death.
In dieser Stunde. Da wollen wir allen völligen gemeinsamen Willen fassen. Er soll stärker sein als jede Not und als jede Gefahr. Und wenn dieser Wille stärker ist als Not und Gefahr, dann wird er Not und Gefahr als Brechen. Wir sind entschlossen, dass alle Schlag jetzt will.
Today we are a holy, a unified people, fortified against any danger. And we are determined. Mr. Beinisch can just as well go now. Thank you.
Chancellor Adolf Hitler in the Berlin Sports Palace is thus concluded. And here in New York is H.B. Kaltenborn, CBS news commentator, who has been interspersing the Hitler speech with his own English translations, and he's ready to bring you his analysis of it. In just a moment, we'll present Mr. Kaltenborn, and we'd like to inform you that during the time that Hitler was speaking, an important press radio dispatch was received from Washington. President Roosevelt has received a reply from President Beneš of Czechoslovakia in answer to Mr. Roosevelt's plea for peace. President Beneš says he believes that the dispute between Czechoslovakia and Germany could be settled without force, but he added that the Czech nation will defend itself if attacked. Czechoslovakia, said President Beneš, agrees with President Roosevelt that war solves no problem, and the present dispute is a case in which reason, humanity, and justice should triumph. The reply from President Beneš is the third received at the White House today, the others being from Great Britain and France. And now here is Mr. H.B. Kaltenborn.
Good afternoon, everybody. I have tried to do two things this afternoon at one and the same time, and I have done them with certain mental difficulties. That is, I tried to translate Adolf Hitler's speech as it was proceeding, and at the same time tried to retain in my own mind its salient points. And frankly, I'm not quite sure that I've been able to do both with that excellent quality to which Columbia's listeners are accustomed. However, I do know this, that it is a speech that did not immediately proclaim war. I know that it is a speech that primarily was a speech of peace rather than of war in all the circumstances in which it was given. I know that it is a speech which announced that Adolf Hitler had replied to the Chamberlain memorandum and that he had at the same time made some sort of a direct proposal to the president of Czechoslovakia. It may be that the speech was not yet ended. That long period of applause to which you listened made us feel that it was over. If he is on again, we will return to Berlin in just a moment. In the meantime, let me go on. There was, in the speech, however, a reiteration of the October 1st ultimatum. But I get the impression that in the memorandum which Hitler has sent to Mr. Chamberlain, which probably goes a little farther than the text of the speech would indicate, there is some sort of a counterproposal that may make it possible for something to be worked out. In any case, there was nothing that indicated that the crisis would come before October 1st. Yes, I'm told Hitler is on again. We take you now to Berlin, Germany.
Das Leben und die Ehre der Nation bis zum letzten Atemzug verteidigen.
This is Dr. Goebbels speaking, and we listen to him for a minute or two, and then if we feel that what he says is not of sufficient importance to delay the translation and interpretation, I will return for that. We take you now to Berlin, Germany. No, it was merely the usual conclusion of those meetings in which the chairman of the meeting calls for cheers for Adolf Hitler. And that then marks the conclusion of the Hitler speech. And so, let me continue. Let me perhaps first give you something of the introductory phases of the speech, and later on, I will then concentrate on emphasizing its most important aspects. Hitler began by recalling his speech of February 22nd. When, as he put it for the first time, I voiced a fundamental demand. The nation heard and understood. The promise that I made in that speech with reference to Austria has been kept. In Nuremberg, I spoke for the second time to voice this particular demand. Today, I step before the nation and repeat this demand. Today, I speak not only as the Führer, but I speak as the German people. The German millions are included in my words. The question that stirred us so deeply in Czechoslovakia is a question of nationality. But actually, if we come right down to it, its name is Beneš. The issue that is involved here in Czechoslovakia fills us today with fanatical determination. Let me summarize again the purposes of Germany's foreign policy. We have no interest in suppressing other peoples. We seek salvation in our fashion. They seek it in theirs. Our foreign policy has no unlimited purposes or aims. They are limited. They serve the German people. They preserve it. They help it and keep it.